Previously on Corporate Homie.
Hosting a corporate event or a corporate reception.
You cannot set the ticket price until you have a budget.
Do you need a hashtag?
I thought I was coming for a sachet Shantae, and it was a program.
It just seems ironic and a little foul.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
living your best life within your means.
You might just want to have one big splurge account.
We don't tell ourselves that it's out of reach until we look.
Tell me how you did that. Tell me what that means. Hey, homies.
What's up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo woo.
And so I'm not whooping. I'm just going to move on. But before we get into the episode, I do want to say we appreciate any five-star review that you could drop for us if you're enjoying the podcast in iTunes.
Thank you in advance.
Right. It's the currency of podcasts, so we appreciate it. We wanted to do an episode about living your best life within your means.
And our chance to rap a voice.
I'm living my best life. I'm living my best life.
What'd you say? Living your best life.
Living your best life within your means. Yeah. Living your best life within your means.
So balling on a budget. So we get this question a lot about, oh, it must be nice to do this, or y'all sure are big timers.
I wish I could go to the Final Four. I wish I could. It must be nice. That is, you know, particularly for people who follow us on social media. We're not ballers. Let's be clear.
At all. And we definitely live within a budget, and we both live within our means. And so we thought we could share.
But we are experienced people. And we have a rule for our lives that we don't tell ourselves that something is not attainable until we look into it. So we are like, oh, we want to go to the Final Four. We look into it and see if that's attainable. Sometimes we look into things like a few years ago, the Super Bowl. We're like, oh,
that's not attainable.
That's not attainable today. Right.
But we also looked at that suite at the Cowboys game.
That was not attainable. Right.
But we check and see.
We don't tell ourselves that it's out of reach until we look.
So we wanted to just sort of share a real quick episode on sort of things that we do that allow us to do some of the things that are fun and great and experience and allow us to have these experiences.
Right. So my first tip is loyalty is the key. There are very few trips, things that I do that do not combine some type of loyalty or early access through American Express or a discount. And it can be something as simple as paying less per month for HBO through my Amazon Prime membership versus buying it directly from my cable provider. It can be, you know, using cashback rewards on a credit card. It can be using points for that day trip to go down to Sarasota and stay, and using the points to stay there instead of paying out of pocket. So, we did an entire episode on airline travel and maximizing points, but this is really about maximizing reward points for life, not just for travel.
That's right. We did, that was episode 103. And then, like you said, I'm the same way, and it's everything from making sure I book all of my reservations on OpenTable so that I get the points to either eat a free meal and some five-star or Amazon gift card, because I buy up my whole life on Amazon. So it's little things like that will, right. I call them like the life hacks. So my, and like you said, we've always been this way. I feel like we've always been about a discount, a life hack, a something.
Absolutely. I mean, back to the days of my mom having her coupon books. But even when we were in college, Demetri and I would shop at a local grocery store. And that grocery store had a rule that if you found an item that was expired in the store, then you could get that replacement item that was unexpired, because the idea was that they should have never had anything expired on the floor. So we go in there, maybe spend an hour or an hour and a half, and we could find all kind of expired stuff, duck and you name it. And we'd have two baskets, a basket full of expired items, and then
a replacement item.
At this time, it's, you know, it's 1993, $75 worth of groceries for no money. So this is, we're not new to this.
Yes, and we were the girls that worked at the mall because we wanted to buy clothes and shoes. So we took the job that allowed us to get a discount on clothes. Like you said, we're not new to this. We always have been about maximizing some.
Don't mess with my discount.
Right, don't mess with my discount. And so my first tip, or the second tip of the episode, is have a splurge account. So one of the things that I have learned to do, and I use, I used to use ING, but it turned into Capital One, I think. And within my savings account, it allows you to break out into these mini accounts. And so I have, you know, my an emergency fund account, and that is not what we're talking about in this episode. Your emergency fund is money that you have set aside. I think it's supposed to be three to six months of expenses. Yeah. And I have that, and that's separate. And then I have what I call splurge account. So I have, you know, an account for travel. You might just want to have one big splurge account where you can travel in it. This might be where you decide you want to buy your handbags from. This is where you want to you know, for me, I host a big holiday party every year that's pretty elaborate. I make sure I put money away for that. And so when you have a splurge account and you set money aside for fun things, then when it's time to do it, you don't feel like, well, wait a minute, I'm going all out for something. Is this being ridiculous? Because you've already put money aside.
I like to joke, every time somebody says doing something that I don't want to do for $1,000, I'm always like, an all-inclusive trip to the DR is $1,000. That's $100 a month, basically, that you're putting to the side each month. Another popular way to save for the splurge account is a lot of banks now have the keep the change, where every time you swipe your debit card, they keep the whatever. So if it's, you know, 73 cents, whatever that difference is to get to the next dollar, they would transfer that automatically to your savings account when you swipe. So you can do what's called keep the change. I think some of them call it way to save, but most banks now have a mechanism where you don't even have to do it. You just sign up for it, and every time you swipe your debit card, whatever the difference is to get to the next dollar, they move that off every transaction to a savings account. I've seen people whose banks don't do that. It ends up being about $50 a month. So I know people who just take $25 every other week and move it, you know, okay, or they take $12.50 each Friday and transfer it. So it's all kind of little, and that doesn't sound like a lot, like $12.50, that's nothing. But I mean, that can be your dues for your sorority. I mean, that's $600 a year.
Right.
It's little stuff like that is a way that you can do those things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So that's, and then it keeps you from, to me, it just, what I love about the splurge account is it keeps you from the guilt when it's time to do something, because you've actually planned for it.
My next tip is always look for ways to combine work and personal travel. So, for example, and I would say that I am the queen at this, right? So I'll use me and my wife as an example. It was her 40th birthday. I had to go out to San Francisco, and as I would say, it's called a break. Had to go to San Francisco the Monday after the weekend of her 40th birthday. And I'm like, you should meet me out there, and we should go to Napa because it was San Francisco. And so my airfare out to San Francisco and one of the hotel nights was, because it was a travel day for me for work, was not money we had to spend out of our own pocket. That's
covered.
Right. That was covered.
Right.
That is huge. That's 50% of the cost, right? You're not buying a whole airline ticket to fly across country to go do something fun. So always look for ways that you're having to travel. You can stay an extra day, or your spouse, your best friend, whomever can meet you out there for the weekend. We do a lot of that. If I have to go out to the West Coast, pretty much if you see me, if you follow me on social media and I'm on the West Coast for work, San Francisco, San Diego, Abeba is going to meet me out there because I'm already out there for work, and we're buying one ticket. And most of the time we might even use points to get her a ticket.
And I love that because I also do that when other people have to travel. So I'll hear that somebody has to go to Brussels.
I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm going to come with you. And so while you have the 3 nights of hotel and have to work, I'm going to go and be
sightseeing. Great point. I used to meet Dimitri in New York all the time for work. And I've met you in Chicago before, lots of different things. I mean, now I don't always get to be her plus one, but what if?
Right, but that's what I was about to say. But also, not just have somebody tag along with you, but you can tag along with someone else on their trip. So I certainly have done that. My next tip on doing things is to plan it. Sometimes that people think it's all baller because they think it's some type of impulse buy or impulse purchase. But if you're like, look, I want to go eat at a James Beard restaurant. Let me figure out how much does that cost? How much do we need? Can we get a room? Can we get other people to split it with us? Or, you know, who else could go? How can I? And then try to heighten the experience for what you're paying. So, for example, I love Darius Cooks, and he does, a tour where, Dining with Darius, but I think that would be fun, and it's not, inexpensive, but I think it would be more fun if I had people to go, and so I got together my crew, it's a big cheat day, we've already planned to be on his tour in February, it's a group of us going, but it's a plan, so we don't wake up that morning and decide we're going to spend an amount more than normal on dinner tonight, right? We don't decide tonight we're going to go and do 5-star dining. We don't decide tonight we're going to the French Laundry. That is something that is planned in advance. So plan.
That's a great point. And I mean, that can work the same way for vacation because knowing where you want to go, even if you don't know where you want to go, but you say we want to go on vacation next summer and we're not going to spend more than whatever, $2,000 a person or whatever that may be, it becomes a much more manageable number to put that away on a monthly basis than throwing that on the credit card and then having to spend 3 years to pay it off. And you can't really even enjoy yourself on the vacation because you haven't properly planned for it. It's a great point there. The other thing I would say is, I know in our world, we have to go to a lot of, black tie events, things like that. I rarely buy formal attire anymore. I rent the runway because, I feel like with social media now, everybody has become a celebrity and you don't want to be seen in the same formal gown over and over and over or the same, whatever. And so Rent the Runway allows you to have this couture experience for really cheap. You look amazing and you don't have to do that. So, even just things like that, I think can heighten an experience and make it look like it's something that you're in an $800 gown and you paid $75 to rent that. To rent that gown for the event.
Yes, that is exactly. Yeah, that's another good hack is to rent the runway and not to be spending all this money on expensive things. My other hack with connection with galas and stuff is I like to find, an up and coming, makeup artist, an up and coming hair person. They usually charge less. Their talent sometimes is equally as good. I mean, I wouldn't, of course you want to see their work, but you don't have, if you're trying to save money, then you don't necessarily need to go to the same person that has 25,000 followers on Instagram. That's not going to get you a discount you're trying to get a deal. You're trying to get things done. And so to me, I think that's another sort of hack when you start talking about that. My next thing is especially for big purchases, not just experiences, research before you buy. So for example, before I buy a car, I use this thing called fightingchance.com. It shows you where you put in sort of the car. I think you have to buy the report, but the report is $20 or $30. It gave me a report of all of the make and models that I desired in the area. And I ended up saving $8,000 on the price of my car because I went just outside of Houston to get it, to pick my car up. And so I would just say, do a little research, especially for electronics, for cars, for
ticket
big
items,
big ticket purchases, right? Because you could, then you have, give yourself time to, price compare. So that way, I've never hired a painter to do my home or put floors in without getting 3 estimates. I don't just go with so-and-so said they were good. A little bit of research can save you a lot of money.
Everything in threes. And That's interesting you say that, because I just read an article and the guy was saying that he saved like $10,000 on his car because he went just outside of San Francisco to get it. So sometimes getting out of the major metropolitan area just a little bit, like you said, for vehicles and big ticket items can be helpful. The other thing that I would say that I know that you and I are very good at is like, we listen to other people. We pay attention to what other people are doing. And we're like, oh, wait, they went where? I've never heard of that place. Oh, that sounds great. Oh, wait, they had a chef. How did they do that? Like, we are all about like, y'all did what now? Walk me through that. tell me how you did that.
Tell me how you did that. Tell me what that means. And don't be afraid. I think one of the big things, and we're probably going to do an episode soon on, you know, kind of money and financial hacks, is part of what we struggle with, especially as women and minorities, is we're afraid to talk about money. We're afraid to actually ask someone, you know, who did you use to do that? Do you have a banker? Do you have a financial planner? Do you, like you said, how did y'all get the chef? Where did that come from? How did you go about that? We just assume, right. Oh, they own some other thing. They do stuff I can't do.
We don't want to be vulnerable and show that we don't know, we don't have the answer. So it's not about that. It's a vulnerability, right? And you and I don't have any ego about that. We're like, hey, I saw on social media, y'all rented a house and y'all had a housekeeper and a chef. How'd y'all do that? And they're, oh, girl, you want me to send you the person? Great. Like, we're just the opposite.
Yes.
We're like, let me get, why would I try to,
yeah,
why would
I try to figure
that out
with
someone
you.
Else has already figured that out?
Right. We don't, you're right. We don't look and say, oh, she took
must
her
nanny
nice. With her on vacation.
Girl,
she
how
must
you do
rich.
That?
Like, hey, what is that? Because sometimes you find
Correct.
Out that's her cousin.
Correct.
That's her cousin. You know, she got the cousin in. You just don't know. So just don't be afraid. I think that is a great point. Don't be afraid to ask people questions. My last tip is sometimes you can generate money in your own home. Like, we all have too much stuff. Yeah. Sell some of it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
People have all kinds
yeah,
of clothes
they can be
that they're not wearing
those,
anymore.
Yeah.
They have electronics. Go and sell it. Like, just take it to a consignment shop. There's seed in your closet. There's seed in your garage. There you have, and you think, or you might want to have a garage sale. Just, you know, take the time. Now, the thing about it is it takes a little time, but you take the time, price all your stuff up, have a garage sale, you make a couple $100s. Or that's your ability to have a massage. You know, you make enough money to get 2 massages. So now you can have a massage for the next 2 quarters, things you wanted to put back in. But just don't be afraid, again, to figure out if there's actually
right.
just
and then my
in your
last
house.
Little, like, kind of knucklehead tip that works for me, and it ends up being my golf money, is I save all my 5s and 1s. So I literally, I'm going to sound like somebody's great uncle. I have a Crown Royal bag in my car, and I put all of my change. Every time I get change, I put it in that Crown Royal bag, and every 5 and every dollar bill I get, I put in the bag. And then when I'm ready to play golf or whatever, at the end of the month or every couple of weeks, that money is there. And it sounds silly. And then at the end of every year in December, I go to like the Kroger or whatever, or the Publix, and put it into the coin machine. And sometimes I'll have $75 or $100 worth of change that I've accumulated for the year. So just, I literally never spend any of my change. As soon as I get it, I put it in that bag. As soon as I get a $5 bill, I put it in that bag. As soon as I get a dollar bill, put it in that bag. So that's simple.
That's so funny. I do that, but I don't have a Crown Royal bag. Actually, Verlin, for my birthday, probably 20 years ago, gave me this little jar, okay. And it says martini money.
Yeah.
And I guess I use it like a piggy bank, and I put all my coins in there, and I save, and I got this tip from the book Girl Get Your Money Straight, books, which was still one of my favorite things that sort of got my life together when my money was a mess when I was in my early 20s, and she said you save every dollar bill that has your initials,
oh, that's right.
on it,
yeah,
your
I
3
remember
initials.
That. Yeah.
And so since I had 2 initials that were the same, I save everyone's initial in the right. family. So I save L's,
J's,
B's,
C's.
K's, J's, C's, you know what I mean? And so that's what I do. And I do the same thing. Then I take it when that fills up and I have a little envelope next to it with the dollar bills. And then I take it. And like you said, it always ends up being like $150.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm always like, okay. And like you said, it's like, You can find something to do right. with that. So those that's my last little tip.
So thank you for listening. If you have any tips you would like to share as you're listening to the episode, after you finish the episode, drop us a comment on either Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And if you have other topics that you would like for us to address, feel free to shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com.
Exactly. And if you want us to come out and speak at your organization, we are super excited about the speeches we have coming up, but we still have engagements available for 2020. You can reach out to us at info@corporatehomie.com.
And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.